Ace Podcast.
Coming up on this episode.
Hey, this is a stick up.
Yeah. Ha ha, what do you think I'm joking? Ha, I'll kill you. We think of dung as just a waste product, but it's really good way for animals to communicate. The symptoms.
All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on, 5, 4, 3.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. This is Craig.
This is Aaron.
And we are coming live from the Lee Berry Studios right outside of Nashville at an undisclosed location.
As usual, and Two Middle-Aged Dudes and the Microphone is the podcast that brings you the best in weird news and strange stories twice a week.
Did you say Two Middle-Aged Dudes and the Microphone?
I did, yeah.
That's okay. Why not?
All right, Craig. Top story?
Top story.
Dog named Trigger steps on gun, shoots owner.
That's some irony.
Isn't that weird?
That's pretty awesome.
This is from CNN, too, so you know it's true.
I don't know.
Sometimes you have to hunt for a good story. Other times it does the hunting for you. Allie Carter was hunting with her dog Trigger in northern Indiana over the weekend when she became the object of an international punchline.
This is an international punchline?
Yes, it is. The 25-year-old laid her 12-gauge shotgun on the ground. The safety was off. You know, that's
first mistake.
First mistake. Her 10-year-old chocolate lab did the rest. A dog stepped on the trigger, causing the gun to go off and strike a female hunter in the foot.
Well, that's really, if you got a dog around, that's not too hard for them to do.
No.
Because you know we got that T-Rex at the house now.
Yes.
And he's huge.
He is huge.
And he walks around walloping every other animal in the house on the top of the head with those giant claws.
What a great dog, though.
He's a great dog.
I'm attached, and he's not even my dog.
He's a great dog.
Yes, a dog stepped on the trigger, and guess what, Craig? The dog was
Kapow.
Named Trigger.
Yeah, that was in the headline.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Trigger shot her human, accidentally, as far as we know. Trigger has had little to say about the matter. Little journalism humor there.
I see that.
Authorities said Carter was released from a local hospital with minor foot injuries. I wonder if she was shooting, like, salt, maybe?
I mean, here's the deal. You get shot in the foot, that's not minor injury.
Anytime you get shot, period, I don't think it's serious. A local hunter said, don't blame the dog. That was more human error than anything.
Really was. I'm going to agree.
I agree. I've hunted with dogs and stuff before and never had problems. Treat every gun like it's loaded.
Because this one was.
And, you know, that's the first rule.
It is.
I learned that in our gun club at high school.
And I've told my son, you know, when he was, you know, playing with toy guns, and just always act like
that's
they're
good. Yeah. Good advice, yes. Keep the safety on when you're not using it and always point it away from you. Also, put your dog through hunting safety training, too.
I can never. Okay, how do you get him to wear the little orange vest?
And maybe don't name him Trigger either, just to stay out of the headlines.
They are so funny. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, guess what?
What happened?
The police say a driver was clocked at 91 miles per hour during a snowstorm.
Really?
Because he wanted a new car stereo.
What?
Apparently.
Okay, this is funny, and it's a she, but in my research this week, Craig, I went to her Facebook page. It's not set to private or anything. Nothing about this story on there.
Nothing.
She's embarrassed. But go ahead. I'm
sorry.
And
probably doesn't want anybody else to know.
I hated to interrupt you.
No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire State Police said a woman accused of driving 91 miles per hour. That's pretty impressive. 91 in a snowstorm.
I don't do 91 on dry ground.
It's because you drive one of those tree-hugging cars. New Hampshire State Police said a woman accused of driving 91 miles per hour in a snowstorm said she was late for an appointment to have a new car stereo installed.
Wow.
What good's it going to do if you don't have a car when you get there?
Or a head.
Yeah.
If you don't have ears to hear it.
Yeah.
You know.
So police said they stopped 21-year-old Anastasia Hawking of Lausonia on Interstate 93 in Concord on Wednesday morning. The highway was covered with snow and slush. Speed limits in Concord range from 55 to 65 on I-93, but police said they had to reduce the speeds to 45 because of the storm.
Yeah.
Hawking was arrested on a reckless driving charge and is scheduled to be arraigned March 3rd.
You know, one of the first things I remember.
They said, you know, you were doing 91. She said, yeah, I was about to hit 95 and you stopped me.
One of the first things I remember from driver's ed, if it's raining, you don't do the speed limit. You just don't.
You mean go less.
You go less than the speed limit.
Right.
Maybe she understood it as you don't do the speed limit, you go
It was opposite day.
Yes. Maybe that was it. All right, Craig, next story. Headline is Minnie Mouse impersonators accused of robbing tourists arrested in Madrid.
Wait, they're robbing the tourists that were arrested in Madrid?
No, they are Minnie Mouse impersonators accused of robbing tourists. They were arrested in
Madrid. Right.
They said,
hey, can I have that wallet? You better give it to me.
How about you give me your wallet?
How about I stick you? I'll stick you.
I've got a shiv.
Too immature.
That's us.
Why wouldn't one Mickey? Too amateur.
I don't know. That's weird. Oh, you know, they probably couldn't afford the licensing. Minnie's cheaper because nobody likes her.
That's true. Two amateur Minnie Mouse impersonators have been arrested and charged with theft for
a... Wait, maybe these are Minnie Mouse impersonators.
They're little mice.
They're
allegedly robbing people in Madrid, in a Madrid tourist hotspot, police headquarters said on Friday.
So this is probably like those crazy nuts that are out on Hollywood Boulevard or whatever.
Elmo was cussing people out.
Yeah, the guy dresses as Superman. These people, sadly, this is their life.
So sad. There's an excellent documentary about
it. I watched it.
Yes. The suspects were accused of pickpocketing unsuspecting tourists who approached the pair for souvenir photographs in Puerto de Sol, a bustling square
Isn't
in the heart.
Puerta?
It may be.
Oh, whatever.
A bustling square.
Like I know that.
In the heart of the Spanish capital. However, Spanish police arrested the two suspects. They weren't hard to find. They just followed the mouse prints.
Right, or the mouse droppings.
On Tuesday, after they were accused of stealing a wallet containing about $1,060 from a woman. The extent of the duo's alleged misdemeanors came to light when the ensuing police search discovered some $8,500 stashed away in the folds of their unofficial Disney costumes. They better hope the mouse doesn't find out.
They set a trap.
If Mickey finds out about this, they're going to be in trouble because he takes that trademark stuff seriously.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. Disney will have them.
Oh, here's what you said. Much like New York's Times Square.
I was talking about California.
Yeah, though. On the man's Chinese theater people. This historic location in Puerto de Sol offers a whole cast of character impersonators, street performers, and musicians plying their trade among the bustling throngs.
I can't remember the name of that documentary, but I would endorse it here for people to watch.
Hey, this is a stick up.
Yeah. Ha ha! What do you think? I'm joking. Ha! I'll kill you. Hey, ready? Man gets 10 years for shooting shopper, then he asks for 5 more.
What?
A Pennsylvania man who shot a Rutland woman while she was doing her Christmas shopping in Rutland Town in 2015 will serve at least 10 years in jail, but his attorney said the man wants to serve at least 15.
What in the world?
Michael Filinuck III, 34, pleaded guilty in July in Rutland Criminal Court to a felony count of aggravated assault with a weapon.
That means there were two Filinucks before him.
Yes. They come from a long line of Filinucks. Filinuck admitted he shot Lisa Jameson, 47, in the arm with a 9mm handgun on December 19, 2015 in the Green Mountain Shopping Plaza parking lot.
Hey, Filinuck, what are you shooting?
9mm. Police said he drove straight from the shopping plaza to the Rutland City Police Department on Wales Street. I am here to surrender myself for the shooting at Petco, Filinuck told the police dispatcher, according to an affidavit. Police said Filinuck told them the gun was in the car, which was where they found it, which is good because that's where he said to look for it. Filinuck was the valedictorian of his high school, a Navy veteran, and a nuclear technician.
How about that? Good grief.
I'm not picking on a guy that's a nuclear technician.
No way.
I'm not picking on his name. But both attorneys said Filinuck had decided he had achieved everything he wanted, Filinuck was the valedictorian of his high school, a Navy veteran, and a nuclear technician.
Wow.
But both attorneys said Filinuck had decided he had achieved everything on what Langrock said he called his bucket list.
So he's going to shoot somebody. That must have been on his list.
Right. The attorney said he had done research and learned that Vermont doesn't have the death penalty, so he drove from Pennsylvania to Vermont and shot someone at random.
Oh, my gosh.
After the sentencing, Langrock called Filinuck. Oh, man, this is nuts. Langrock called the Filinuck case the most unusual case I've ever had. I've never quite had a case like this in my life where my client has said, your job is to make sure I get a longer sentence.
I wonder if 15 years was on his bucket list. And they said 10. They said 10. He said, wait a minute.
Langrock described his client's interest in spending the rest of his life in jail as being similar to people who want someone to make all the decisions for them.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Why not check into a nursing home or something?
Langrock said there was no particular motive for for shooting Jameson, but he disagreed with Kennedy's suggestion that that Filinuck had the intent to kill. Filinuck had no crystal meth. No. Filinuck. I keep wondering if they can say his name 500 more times.
Filinuck.
Filinuck had no criminal history. He has been held in the Rutland jail without bail since his arrest. This is like,
let's break this.
This kind of reminds me of that Twilight Zone episode where the guy had he was invincible. He was immortal, and he tried everything, and nothing would hurt him. And then his wife accidentally falls off the top of their building, and so he takes the rap for it because he wants to get the electric chair. But then he gets life sentence instead.
Oh no!
And so he just. At that point, the devil, whatever comes back and just take it. He just kills him. He dies of a heart attack. Yeah.
So this guy.
I don't know why that reminds me of that. I think it's just because he just had a list. And he just kept doing stuff.
Let me see if I understand this correctly. This guy, valedictorian of his high school, mm-hmm. Mr. Filinuk, age 34. That's young, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear technician and a Navy veteran. Okay, so he's smart. He's strong.
A nuclear technician.
He said he'd done everything on his bucket list, which included apparently shooting someone.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, 15 years in prison.
He needs meds.
He needs something.
He needs something.
Crazy.
I don't know what to tell you.
Interesting. All right, let's go from a bad guy to a bad cop, shall we?
Sure.
Headline is, Feds nail phony cop who was running a Texas county jail. So that's a phony cop that advanced in the ranks, Craig.
So this is a phony cop. This guy, not only is this person a phony cop, but they've got their own jail.
Yes. San Antonio, a man masquerading as a police officer who somehow managed to get a job running the county jail in Texas.
Oh.
Has been sentenced to 60.
I thought he actually was a phony cop and had his own phony jail.
No, that'd be funny.
That would be phony and funny.
Yes, it would. 63 months in prison for repeatedly taking guns aboard planes. What?
Wait, start over. What? Keep this rolling. Go. What, okay. Say that again.
Okay, so this man, I'm going to read it again. A man masquerading as a police officer who somehow managed to get a job running a county jail in Texas has been sentenced to 63 months in prison for repeatedly taking guns aboard planes.
Why don't you report that story?
Yeah. He's got these guns on those planes, all
I
right?
I mean, save your stories, because later you might need to tell the story about him being phony and running a jail. Right
there
now we're
go.
Talking about him carrying guns on a plane.
Why they got to muddy the water? I mean,
I don't know.
Is funny, though. Federal prosecutors say the bizarre case of Jordan Jericho Bautista Gunter. Began in late 2015 when he secured a contract to help turn around the Frio County Jail.
Frio. I like Fritos.
I do too. Which had been shut down earlier that year for failing to meet state standards. Local officials had given the 26-year-old Bautista Gunter the $100,000 a year job because they believed he was a licensed police. What? Nobody
There's
checks?
No background check. Wait. So this is law enforcement and they don't have a subscription to some background check company?
I'm telling you what. Turns out Bautista Gunter had prepared to be a cop before, or had pretended to be a cop before.
He prepared to pretend.
In the state of Maryland, where he went by the name of Forrest Jordan Burgard Gunter.
Can you just go by Steve Smith or something?
And he had been arrested there several times. In 2011, he pleaded guilty to possessing a concealed deadly weapon and was given a 3-year suspended sentence.
Why? Why was it suspended?
As a result, he was banned from carrying a firearm or any police equipment. Later that year, he was busted again when he was spotted wearing body armor and carrying a baton. It's not a firearm.
Was he twirling it?
After getting a job as a Bell's bondsman, the Herald reported. At the time, Bautista Gunter's mother said her son suffered from Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism. Prosecutors say in late 2014, he legally changed his name in Texas to Jordan Jericho Bautista Gunter.
Bautista?
Frio County Attorney Joseph Sindon said that Bautista Gunter spoke like a cop. How is that? What is he? Cop lingo? What's your 10-4, good buddy?
Halt. Freeze.
Did everybody just lay
you
down?
You are under arrest.
He said the right things, checked the right boxes. As much as everyone here feels pretty silly
about
this.
He was confident. He was confident.
Yes. We weren't the only ones he duped.
He's like when you go to Walmart and you steal a TV, he had the phone up to his ear because it makes
invisible.
Him invisible.
That's right.
That's right.
Shortly after getting the job running the jail, the story took an even stranger turn, prosecutors said. While conditions at the jail improved and stayed
he made improvements.
He did a good job. Bautista was accused of other things by the employees, some kind of abuse. In January 2016, Bautista Gunter showed up at the home of a former inmate in the middle of the night and demanded a urine sample.
Wow. Here's the deal. Bautista, he's all about keeping things above board,
yeah,
following procedures,
right?
And he needed that sample. That guy was supposed to start work at 6 a.m. He needed to get that sample processed.
When Bautista Gunter called the local cops to help transport the former inmate back to jail, the responding officers ran a check and realized they were dealing with a man pretending to be a cop. Never mind that he had keys to the jail and
right.
and a badge and whatever. He was arrested by the feds in February and charged of taking guns on planes nearly two dozen times as part of prisoner transfer. They had him transferring prisoners. Wow.
That's as crazy as rhinos using poop piles like a social network.
Did you say poop?
Yeah. Forget Facebook.
Done.
done and done. Rhinos get their gossip by sniffing feces at a communal latrine, a new study says.
Now I'm glad we have Facebook. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that either.
What if that's the only way you could meet people?
What if like that could be your job? You could get paid a lot of money to
that would have been
sniff
in the last
feces.
Episode's top 10 list.
Yes. From the campfire to the water cooler.
That sounds like
from
a camp
California
song.
To New York.
From the Midwest to the Southeast.
To the lowlands to the highlands. People have always gathered around to share the latest news. White rhinoceroses.
That's racist.
Yes. White rhinoceroses, it turns out, do the same thing. Only their choice of a meeting place is
a giant
pile of poop. Chemical clues in white rhino feces provide information about age, sex, general health, and reproductive status to other rhinos that visit the communal latrine, also called a midden. A new study found.
Did you lose your midden?
I lost my midden. That's over there. You should smell it over there somewhere. We think of dung as just a waste product, but it's really good way for animals to communicate.
I know some people that communicate with a bunch of dung, too.
There's a lot of information there that we haven't taken advantage of, says study leader Courtney M., an ecology PhD student at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. C15 moving pictures of rhinoceroses. That's what it says.
Yeah, it is.
Hold on. I'm going to look for the pictures. Hold on. Oh, those are nice. Okay. Anyway, people. Do people know that we intentionally, sometimes there's stupid crap written in here. We just keep reading it.
I think people do know that by now.
Because we're dumb, but not that dumb.
I mean, a couple episodes ago, you read advertisement.
Yeah, that was you.
Was it me?
I think so.
Whatever.
It was me. We did go to an advertisement.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this. Okay, we're back now. Lots of animals can detect chemicals in urine and feces to learn what's going on with other members of their species. Wait. It seems like Dave's depressed.
Yo, I know what happened to the Snickers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, for instance, dogs constantly sniff the fire hydrant. I don't have my dog sniffing fire hydrants. They sniff everything.
Yeah.
What makes white rhinos different from a sniffing Fido is rhino groups defecate in the same location.
Well.
So do mine in the backyard. Not rhino, dogs. Other species get their gossip from middens, especially mammals that live in large social groups like gazelles, monkeys, and rabbits. But the study is the first time the behavior has been confirmed in rhinos. Marna M. and colleagues tracked more than 200 individual white rhinos in South Africa from different populations and took samples of their poop. Get a better hobby. After the animals visited their middens.
That is a crappy hobby.
Yeah, it really is.
It stinks.
It pays crap. This allowed the team to track exactly what individual contributed the sample.
Huh.
The scientists then analyzed the chemical makeup of the rhino's dung. They found that feces of various ages and sexes, such as young animals, dominant males, and females in estrus, carry different chemical cues.
If we had a band, I would request that we named it Rhino's Dung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's after we start the band, Tase the Goat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tase the Goat Slowly. That's going to be our first album.
Ooh.
Okay, this is the kind of story right here.
That'd be bad.
It makes me angry. Headline is, gun-shaped house key nearly spoils family vacation.
Okay.
The same key that gets Henry E.
See, you know how I feel now.
Into his home almost kept him and his wife, Lisa, from boarding Carnival cruise ships last Sunday. He pulls out his keys and says, "Oh, here's a problem," says Henry. I thought it was Henry's wife talking, but
Henry. He just has a very high pitch.
He does.
He's a tenor.
Security at Port Canaveral
Canaveral
told E He could not board with his gun-shaped house key because it was a prohibited item.
House keys are prohibited?
It's my house key, he
said. How do you get a gun key? How do you get a gun key?
And it was cool looking. I saw it. It looked like a little gun, but it was a key on the end.
All right, whatever.
It's my house key, he said. Well, you can't take it on, said he. Henry and Lisa both work in law enforcement, so they know about security measures. Yeah, he runs a jail down there.
Yeah, he runs a jail, and he travels with a lot of guns.
First of all, you can't even get your finger in the hole if it was a gun, and you can barely get a finger around the grip, he said. They say I can't have it. I can't get that on the boat either. I either need to get rid of it or take it back or not cruise. So he let Carnival put the key in a safe.
Well, that's at least a compromise.
Sure, he didn't have to throw it in the water or anything. They have my address. They have my key. All they need to do is make a replica, and the next thing you know, they could be at my house.
Because that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
He should have just pulled his key out and shot him.
In a statement, Carnival told 10 News, its prohibited items policy does prohibit all firearms, including replicas, house keys, imitations, and their components. I just threw that house keys in to see if you'd catch me.
Yeah.
However, the house key shaped like firearm is not what is meant by the term replica.
Right.
It's embarrassing because you're sitting there and everyone's looking at you like you did something wrong. He and Carnival both agree the whole headache should not have happened, especially when a vacation is supposed to be stress-free. He said it is upsetting, but it's comical because it's like, really, what am I going to do with that? Unlock somebody's door?
Could have stabbed the guy in the neck with it.
You know they give you steak knives on the cruise. That's a good
exactly.
point. Yeah. Carnival says it's contacting the security company it contracts with to make sure the policy is understood so the mistake doesn't happen again.
Yeah, you know, that happened to me. I went to this lame theme park a year or so ago and had my GoPro strapped on because I was on a roller coaster.
Right.
And they said you could bring sunglasses, but they're like, you can bring sunglasses, but you might lose them. And they were fine with objects being potentially thrown off of you.
Yeah.
And I've got the body harness on, which is a stretchy elastic. Yep. It's not coming off.
No, it's solid. It's made for things like
and
that.
And they made a big deal in front of everybody, right in front of everybody, saying,
did you punch somebody out? It wasn't.
I wanted to. I was mad. No, it wasn't at Disney World, but I was mad that it was dumb.
Yeah. And stuff like that, the guy knows it's a house key.
And it's like you guys are one step away from being the lamest park anyway, so why don't you just not be that way.
Oh, so you were at Holiday World, huh?
You got it.
I knew it.
Oh, man, that's going to come back and bite us, huh?
I don't think so.
Hey, it was okay. It was okay. You know what? Now it's out in the open. Now the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Now the holiday's out of the bag.
Yeah. Should we air our grievances on Holiday World?
We're going to air our grievances right here, right now.
I love it.
So here's the deal. Holiday World, not that you're listening.
Yeah.
It was a good park. It was okay park.
Sure,
okay?
It's not bad.
But I would compare it to Disney World being Hollywood looking, and that looked like Grandpa helped them paint the sets.
Yes,
so
it does.
Have you been there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it looks kind of like everybody got together and had a barn raising. It looks like that. The rides and everything are fine. It's okay. I mean, actually, the water park was great. But here's the deal, okay? Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, your first mistake is you're a Pepsi house, okay? You need to get Coke in there.
Amen.
Secondly, as nice as everything is, I mean, you know, you guys are kind of rude. I had more than one rude person while I was there.
Yeah.
Your parking lot is a big, giant gravel parking lot.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It looks like you're going to some kind of carnival down the street.
Yeah. So as a consumer,
yes,
I'm just saying that you could probably fix a little of this. You know, first of all, lay off of cameras. Are you afraid someone's going to record when they...
I can't believe they did that. That's ridiculous.
They were about to... The one guy on the swing ride or something didn't say anything, but I was waiting for it. But the thing was, it was secure, and you've contradicted yourself because you said that glasses are okay.
Yep.
But you may lose them, which means you're not afraid of things falling off into the track.
Right.
You're not worried about that.
You should have said it was your comfort item.
I identify as a camera today.
Yeah.
But they would have made me as a camera get off the ride. But we were in the very front, too. I was really mad about it because they were so rude, and they said no, and they just took it, and I had my expensive GoPro just sitting there.
Oh, my gosh.
Hoping nobody took it.
Sarah, my daughter, lost a purse there. Somebody stole her purse while she was on a roller coaster, and they didn't tell her to lock it up or anything. She just put it in a locker, and they didn't say lock it, anything, and she came back. It was empty. It was gone.
Yeah.
So she refuses to go back.
It was.
I'll tell you this. My experience and what drew me in was the free beverages and free sunscreen, all that.
Yeah, well, it's the sunscreen's basically one step above mayonnaise.
Exactly.
I'm not convinced
that's
it's not mayonnaise.
And I'm not a big water park guy anyway because I don't like water. I don't like being wet outside. But they said they claim they had this huge water park and they have this huge theme park. They don't. They have half a water park. Mm-hmm. I don't care if Santa Claus does live there.
He doesn't. That's the thing.
He doesn't?
Yeah, Thanksgiving. What was it called? Thanksgiving? Halloween.
Yes.
All these different. It was a cool idea.
I guess.
But, okay, so if we don't get sued, we'll be
we're
back.
Being honest. We're honest.
We're just being honest.
Yeah.
We're not saying that they can't fix the problems.
No, they cannot.
They can fix the problems. We're not saying that they couldn't if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that since they basically didn't care when I complained via email or whatever and just said, hey, you guys were rude, because they were teenagers running the rides.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing real quick is that we rode the log ride, which is we had one here in Nashville.
Flume Zoom
at Opryland. But, you know, ours, you'd float around, you'd go up a big hill, then you'd float around this, like, track.
Yes,
it was
so
GoPro.
Fun.
Theirs, you wait an hour, you get in it, takes you to the top of the hill, turns around, drops you back down again.
That's it?
That was it.
That's no fun.
No.
Forget about it.
Okay, so we come to the point now where we've got a top 10 list for Flash Jackets.
Let me play this before we start.
Ready?
Yeah.
Top 10 most venomous snakes.
No, I don't want to do this one.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Number 10.
Oh, crap.
Chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka.
Stop it.
Rattlesnake.
I hate rattlesnakes.
Number 9.
Yes.
That rattlesnake is funny. These all have descriptions. Rattlesnake needs no description.
There was a description, but I figure.
You figure?
I figure everybody knows rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
You know.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Death adder. The appropriately named death adder is found in Australia and New Guinea.
Of course
they
it's
actually
in Australia.
Hunt and kill other snakes, including some on this list, usually via ambush.
They sneak out.
Mm-hmm. A bite causes paralysis and can cause death within 6 hours due to respiratory failure.
Uh-huh.
With the quickest strike in the world, a death adder can go from strike position to striking back again within 0.13 of a second. Let's try that again. 0.13 seconds.
That's a quick strike.
That's done. You're bitten by the time you even notice.
Dead.
Yeah, dead. Dead. You're dead before you even notice. What? Number 8. Vipers.
Oh.
Vipers are found throughout most of the world, but arguably the most venomous is the saw-scaled viper. We argued that the other day, and I said arguably the saw-scaled viper, and I also said the chain viper.
I think I said chain viper.
They're found primarily in the Middle East and Central Asia, particularly in India, China, and Southeast Asia.
The chain viper, it's not the venom that's poisonous. It's the chain that he hits you with.
Yeah, he just whips you with it and just... Anyway, so much could be there. I'm not going to go. Ready? Number 7. We talked about these here lately.
Yeah.
Cobras.
Oh.
Philippine cobra.
Hey, we're big in the Philippines.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We got one listener. Most species of cobra would not make this list. How?
I don't know.
However, the Philippine cobra is the exception. Drop for drop, its venom is the most deadly of all the cobra species.
And this is just number 7, Craig.
I know. And they are capable of spitting up to 3 meters.
Good night.
The venom is a neurotoxin which affects cardiac and respiratory function and can cause neurotoxicity, respiratory paralysis, and death in 30 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
The bite causes only minimal tissue damage.
Oh.
The neurotoxins interrupt the transmission of nerve signals by binding to the neuromuscular junctions near the muscles. The symptoms might include headache, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea, dizziness, collapse, and convulsions. Break number 6, tiger snake.
Where's this one found?
Australia, mate.
Of course.
That's not a snake.
That's a snake.
The tiger snake has a very potent neurotoxic venom. Death from a bite can occur within 30 minutes, uh-huh. but usually takes 6 to 24 hours.
Oh, I bet those are fun hours.
Number 5, the black mamba. Why is it scary? You're not going to run into one here.
I
Tennessee.
Don't care.
We got all the rattlesnakes.
Just
instead.
Thinking about it. What if I dream it?
The feared black mamba is found throughout many parts of the African continent. They are known to be highly aggressive and strike with deadly precision. They're also the fastest land snake in the world, capable of reaching speeds up to 20 kilometers an hour.
So that's an aggressive snake
yeah.
that can outrun you.
Right.
So
these fearsome snakes can strike up to 12 times in a row. A single bite is capable of killing anywhere from 10 to 25 adults.
One single bite. I don't want anything to do with a black
What
mamba.
About the taipan?
Taipan's okay.
Number 4.
Yeah.
Another entry from Australia.
Of course it is.
The venom in a taipan is strong enough to kill up to 12,000 guinea pigs.
Well, who's going
to
be...
Why would you do that? The guinea pigs are so nice. I love guinea pigs.
How many humans? That's what I want to know.
The venom clots in the victim's blood, blocking arteries or veins. It's also highly neurotoxic. Before the advent of an anti-venom... Am I saying it wrong or are they spelling it wrong?
They're spelling it wrong.
There are no known survivors of the taipan bite, and death typically occurs within an hour. As before they came up with an antivenom. Even with successful administration of the antivenom, most victims will have extensive stay in intensive care, which is likened to the African black mamba in morphology, uh-huh. ecology, and behavior.
I'd keep it in a blue crate if I had one.
Well, if you had a blue crate.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
The Blue Crate. The Malayan or Blue Crate is by far the most deadly of this species. Found throughout Southeast Asia and Indonesia, 50% of bites are from the deadly Blue Crate are fatal, even with the administration of antivenom. Crates hunt and kill other snakes, even cannibalizing other crates.
Oh, that's bad.
They're the worst.
Yeah, they got bad attitudes.
They're a nocturnal breed and are more aggressive under the cover of darkness. However, overall, they are quite timid, you know, whatever, and will often attempt to hide rather than fight.
Okay, I like that part.
Number two, Eastern Brown Snake. Don't let the innocuous name of this snake fool you.
No, that's just an Eastern Brown.
One 14th thousandths of an ounce of its venom is enough to kill an adult human.
Wow. That's
coming
just
in,
a huh? drop.
I know. Coming in a variety of species, the Eastern Brown Snake is the most venomous. Unfortunately, its preferred habitat is also along the major population centers of Australia, of course.
Yeah.
The brown snake is fast-moving, can be aggressive under certain circumstances, and has been known to chase aggressors and repeatedly strike at them. Even juveniles can kill a human. The venom contains both neurotoxins and blood coagulates. Fortunately for humans, less than half of bites contain venom, and they prefer not to bite at all if possible. They react only to movement, so stand very still if you encounter one in the wild, or stand still in case there's one nearby you don't see.
I'll remember that.
Like right now, I'm standing still.
We should have warned Tracy, by the way, because if she's listening.
She doesn't like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Number one, he's got a proper name, Fierce Snake.
Yes.
Fierce Snake or Inland Taipan. It has the most toxic venom of any land snake in the world. The maximum yield record for one bite is 110 milligram, enough to kill about 100 humans or 250,000 mice.
Why do they keep throwing rodents
in
there?
I know. Why throw them under the bus?
What's up?
With an LD50, whatever that is, of 0.03 milligrams, it is about 10 times as venomous as the Mojave rattlesnake, and 50 times more than the common cobra.
Yikes.
Fortunately, the inland taipan is not particularly aggressive and is rarely encountered by humans in the wild. No fatalities have ever been recorded, though it could potentially kill an adult within about 45 minutes.
So, the number one snake, no fatalities have ever been reported. Black Mamba's number five.
Yeah, well that's the list is messed up.
You know
up.
What? I wish Drop D or Adam, some of our friends.
Somebody from Australia needs to call us up and tell us about this.
They're all asleep right now. Or else I'd give him a call.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Tracy.
That brings us to the end, Craig.
Once again, at the end of another epic episode.
I think it was a good episode.
It was pretty good.
Not bad. All right.
Okay. That's it.
We'll see y'all or talk to you next episode.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at 2 Middle Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.